I am Councillor Estella Tinknell. I am Deputy Mayor and I have a special responsibility for arts and culture.
So then, we've been at the meeting today, so tell us a brief outline of what we've been discussing.
Well, I was invited today. Obviously, I'm new in post. I've only been there a couple of months. And I wanted to talk to the group because I wanted to think a bit about how we get our message out, about how we're shifting the way we think about culture in Bristol. I've got a new cultural strategy which is being developed at the moment, and that has a high priority on inclusivity, equality and diversity. And those are kind of key elements in across all our policies in Marvin's administration. And I really wanted to kind of emphasise the way in which we're kind of rethinking what culture is and who it's for in Bristol, while recognising Bristol has an extraordinarily rich and diverse culture and a very good reputation culturally outside the city, both nationally and internationally. But for me, that's not getting to all the corners of the city that it should reach. And I want to find ways in which that's much more inclusive, but we actually speak to people in Withywood and Loch Lees, as well as the people in Clifton and Stokes Croft.
Now, you were saying, obviously, you came from Birmingham. I've lived in Birmingham for about 5 years as well.
Yeah.
And I knew I could relate to what you were saying.
Right, okay.
Everyone joins in together.
Yeah.
Here in Bristol, we don't seem to have that. Yeah. Why do you think that is?
Well, I don't come from Birmingham. I was actually born in Bristol, but I lived in Birmingham for 20 years. And Birmingham is a much maligned city. Everyone thinks it's a kind of cultural desert. One interesting thing about Birmingham is that I don't think it's not so socially segregated as Bristol. And Bristol has sections of the population who are very well served by arts and culture, but it has sections which are very poorly served. And it's those areas where there's a relatively poor service, as it were, to put it in rather instrumental terms, where people say to me, I don't really feel very proud of being a Bristolian. And what's Bristol done for me? Now, I remember in Birmingham, whether you're black, white, you know, Asian, whatever your ethnicity or your class position, there's a really strong sense of being proud to be a Brummie. I think one of the issues is that Birmingham had to reinvent itself in the 1990s. It had a car industry which dominated the Birmingham economy for the kind of post-war years right up to the 1980s. The car industry collapsed, partly because of imports from abroad, all sorts of issues around disputes and so on. So one of the things that Birmingham did was to say, we're going to reinvent ourselves as a city which is about culture in a serious way. Built things like the Convention Centre, Symphony Hall, but those big new venues were built with Birmingham people in mind, as well as the idea that you attract people from outside for things like conferences. And it's always struck me very forcibly that sort of combination of people, perhaps forged in challenging times, where people feel, well, actually, we share this together and we have a strong sense of identity as a consequence.
So what do you think we can do, us Bristolians?
Well, I think we need to be very aware of that situation, not to be complacent about the way in which Bristol works, to value what's good about it, but also to deliberately intervene to change some of the things which are more problematic. And those are around the lack of diversity, relative segregated nature of communities, and the fact that whereas some areas are very well served and some communities are very well served, let's consciously plan ways in which we really kind of address the needs of the whole of the city.
So how do you think we'll tackle that?
Well, one of the things we're doing is in the cultural strategy, we're actually thinking about practical solutions to that. At the moment, I'm thinking about, for example, who leads on particular prestigious cultural institutions. We're standing in the Colson Hall right now. Who's on the board of the Colson Hall? Should we do things like challenge those who run it to say, do we have a more diverse trust or board, for example? Who do they represent? And I think once you start at the top, you can change the way things work further down. But in addition to that, I think things like funding need to have attached to them conditions for organisations which do receive City Council funding are committed to our values and committed to genuinely changing the way in which they address their audience, the extent to which they see they have a diverse audience, for example, and actually seeing concrete proposals attached to those things.
Do you think people are frightened to step to the mark and step up and speak to yourselves?
No, I don't think they are, actually. I think, actually, most people are only too pleased, in a way, to be challenged by this, because the danger is always that you don't meet very many people, especially in the arts and cultural sector, who are not committed to diversity and inclusivity. Almost everyone you encounter is. The problem often is, how do you do that? And I think it's very important not to do it in a kind of passive way, to say, well, they don't come to us, so what can we do? But to be proactive. And I certainly would not say that they're afraid to do it. I think that they probably would value the challenge that we're setting them.
So anyone that's listening now to this podcast, what do you think would be the first step for them to take?
Well, I think it's important to say that culture should not simply be run by the council. That's the one important point I have to make. And that's partly to do with the kind of funding situation we're in. But it's also the case that in Bristol, it's got an extraordinarily rich and diverse culture, which isn't simply about kind of state aid, as it were, you know. So we need to get the balance right between those. But if you've got bright ideas and you want some, you know, you want to talk to me about it, contact me at the council and let's have a conversation about it. I want to be as open to ideas as possible. I want City Hall to be there for Bristol citizens to come and talk to us about it. And I want to go and see what people are doing where they are as well. And I've already been out to hundreds of organisations finding out what they do and listening to them talking to me.
So what do you think of Beaman so far that you've experienced today?
It's been very interesting. I've enjoyed the meeting. It's been good fun. It's been really interesting hearing what your issues are. I'm aware that most people working here are clearly not working in big organisations. They're independent. They may be doing it partly as a hobby, semi-professional. And obviously, I want to be as supportive as I can be. So I'm very open to how we can support you. We had a conversation about the arena, for example. Now, that's something I'm going to take away and talk to Helen Holland about. So, you know, we're there to listen to you. I can't promise we can always do exactly what you want, but I will promise to listen to what your concerns are.
So how do they get in touch with you, finally?
Well, you can get in touch with me through email at the council house. It's Estella Tinknell at bristol.gov.uk.
Excellent. Thanks for joining us.
Pleasure.